The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
In the South, it's always college football season, and the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Southern Sports Today proudly presents The Chuck Oliver Show. It's an inside look at everything college football. Now live from Atlanta, Georgia, it's time to talk college football with the reigning king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
There's one huge thing missing. Year two in this SEC locale. Chuck Oliver Show on a Tuesday. And spring practice hither and yon all around the SEC. And college football as well. We've already had one SEC, Missouri, wrapped up on Saturday. So they're already watching other programs. Online, streaming, of course, because it's not just over the air in almost every case. But as spring football rolls along and you've got various coaches all across, again, the sport, but in the SEC, they're just like every other conference. You've got coaches who take various approaches calendar-wise, schedule-wise to spring practice. Eli was like, we're going to get it done. We're starting. We're getting it done, and then we're going to be ready for April 15th when the portal opens again, and we're going to be out ahead of every other program and just watch y'all practice, and we'll watch your games, and, you know, whatever. And so Eli did Eli things, and so Rocket, man, and Como. In other places, you've got spring break, and you've got finals, and you've got all kinds of things you're going to work around, and if you're, you know, spring practice at some programs, you've got potential Final Four weekends to avoid. So all kinds of things going on, all kinds of different interests. And if you don't have offensive linemen, which we've already talked about a couple of those things, you're not going to have a game at all. But in Auburn, Alabama, there's one thing missing from specifically year two of Hugh Freeze as the head coach. And I am talking about the optimism. I am talking about on the plains right now, going into year two with Hugh Freeze as the head coach. This is supposed to feel, if I just drop that scenario into a fishbowl, Brian Harsin wasn't going to work and say, new coach, and so we hired Hugh Freeze. If all I told you, there was nothing else happened. This was all happening inside the Auburn universe. 14 months ago, we hired Hugh Freeze, and we went through a spring and then a season, and now we're into our second spring ahead of year two with Hugh Freeze, and he's worked the portal, and he's recruited, and he's tweaked the staff, and so we're heading into year two with Hugh Freeze. If I would have told you just that, just stuff about Hugh Freeze, like last December, hey, Hugh Freeze is your new coach, where do you think you'll be? March, a year from now, March, where do you think you'll be? Ooh, give him a spring, give him a season, let him tweak the coaching staff, let him work the portal, let him do high schools. I know enough about Hugh Freeze. I know where we'll be. You ask an Auburn fan December, a year ago, hey, where do you think you'll be sitting, like program-wise, optimism-wise, give Hugh Freeze until middle of March next year, where do you think you're going to be? You'd be looking at needles pointing up, folks. You'd be talking about a lot of optimism all over the plains. And that's if it was just about Hugh Freeze and what we knew of his track record, Arkansas State, Ole Miss, Liberty, etc. Truth is, this is supposed to feel like way more of an opportunity for Auburn right now, beyond just anything to do that we thought we know about Hugh Freeze. Especially since Elvis left the building. but mostly because Hugh Freeze is the coach and he gets offenses right, and we know that. I believe in place of feeling hopeful for the approaching season, I think Auburn fans are confused by the first 15 months of Hugh Freeze on campus. I think Auburn fans are confused right now through the first, whatever it is, 14, 15 months of Hugh Freeze as the head coach. I will give you his assessment, all right? Because this is not obviously a hit job. Heck, I want Auburn to win. I've told you, I will jump into my fandom alum. I write my check every year. I want him to go, I would used to say 15-0. I'll take whatever the prescribed number of postseason. I want my team to go undefeated, win a national championship every year, and I'm biased as all get out. All right, back to my, now I'm employed. You're supposed to be feeling a lot more confident right now, and I think it's confusion. And I will give you Hugh Freeze's assessment. So clearly this is not anybody, I got an axe to grind, or I don't like that guy, or I've just been doing a hit job on Auburn. Man, it was the opposite of that. And to step out of this conversation, to let you know, as neither professional media member or SEC school alumni, I will give you Hugh Freeze's assessment. December 30th, quote, "I don't think I did a very good job this season. Not a lot of gray area there. Not much to dissect." Quote, "I don't think I did a very good job this season." That's his version. When I say we're going to be hopeful 15 months in because of what we all know about Hugh Freeze, when he's the coach, he gets offense right. What we all think we know about him, that hasn't come true, comma, not yet. Been 1 year. But quarterbacks, passing game, bunch of yards and points, folks, that was not Auburn's offense in 2023. And it did not have any earmarks, and I mean none. If you watch this team week to week, there was nothing about last season that you watched and saw, okay, this is a set the stage season is all. This is a get the processes in place, and then the team takes off in year two. We can see it happening. No, there was none of that present in 2023. If you watch this team week to week, it didn't look like building, just about to break through, building, You pushed Georgia, I think, like no one else in the regular season. Next game, LSU unloaded a sack of hammers on Auburn, and I mean from the coin toss. That game was done after 13 minutes of football. There were so many limitations to the Auburn offense last year that when Peyton Thorne wasn't getting it done, which there were a lot of Saturdays where there was just no consistency, no real threat that they were going to be able to throw the ball, and you could tell, you're like, this is not going to happen today. Well, the other option was either a freshman who did not need to be out there, like really, really did not be. I'm talking about Gurner, actually, I guess a redshirt. Or Robbie Ashford, who, was real limited. They needed some sparks or answers or whatever, and there were a lot of times when Hugh Freeze was like, yeah, we're not putting Robbie Ashford in. So he didn't have a lot of great options at quarterback, but that's also on him. I don't know. Maybe he should have gotten Casey Thompson. Maybe he should have gotten whoever. But he didn't. So would Devin Leary would have worked out better for Kentucky, Auburn, and the play? Maybe. But it didn't go that way. And so you're down. And when I say that game was over after 13 minutes of football, LSU scored, and then they scored again, and then they scored again, and it was 17-0. Heath, did you watch much of Auburn's offense last year?
If I could avoid it, I tried to.
Okay, down 17-0 at the end of the first quarter in Baton Rouge. Were they going to come back under any normal, without a few special teams or defensive scores? Would you have expected them to come back?
Absolutely not.
Yeah, that game was done, folks. Checkmate. It was over. And I'm sitting there with, like, orange and blue on going, go Auburn. Wow, they're not going to win today. Like, before your butt was even warm sitting down on the couch, you were like, they're not winning. They're not coming back from this. 17 was just too much. All right, let's follow that up. Win three straight conference games to start November? Take the pipe versus New Mexico State. I can't explain that. All right? I have given Auburn a lot of credit. The 2013 team, and brother, I'll stand by this. I'll take the Pepsi Challenge. The mark of a great team with really good leadership, sidelines and seniors, how you evolve over a season. I've never seen a college football team improve more week to week than the 2013 Auburn team, like ever. They lost that game in the rain down in Baton Rouge. Jeremy Hill did, you know, all kinds of things. And they had an injury at receiver that, and it was just this gross, sloppy game. And you could see it didn't really get out of hand, despite what the score, but the score got stretched out. But it doesn't really, if you're watching, you're like, it wasn't real. But everybody else just saw the score, and it was still early in the season, a new quarter. And so, it's just not going to work. Folks, that team got better. I mean, bunches. I remember sitting in the post-game press conference in Atlanta after the SEC title game. Gary Pinkel, school's all-time winningest coach. Coach, when it comes to stopping Auburn, blah, blah, blah. And he said, you're asking the wrong person. He said, we just gave up, I think it was 520-something yards rushing. 500 yards rushing. And Gary Pinkel's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. He's like, you're asking me about stopping them? It's kind of a funny, I didn't laugh because I realized it's kind of a funny comment. He's like, yeah, you're asking the wrong person. That team evolved week to week, and I've never seen anything like it in college football. And I can give you some other great examples. They got the belt. Auburn won three straight conference games to start November. They had that pile of duck snot against New Mexico State. And then they encapsulated that whole 4 weeks where they were great, great, great. And then, oh, Lord. Folks, they decided to do that over 1 3-hour period the following Saturday. Had Alabama beat, and I mean beat, like beat, capital B, period at the end, beat, 4th and 31. Sybil, I've never, give you no other great example like that. And Hugh Freeze was supposed to be the buoyancy here. I always talk about coaching. Give me some calm. Give me a Gibraltar, man. Give me some sideline, just help. And they didn't get enough. Now, did Hugh Freeze walk in and, like, he got a pair of pocket kings and then another one on the flop? No, it wasn't exactly that. But a lot of what happened involved players of his choice and coaches of his choice. So if you would have asked me the day he was hired, you say, Chuck, 15 months from now, what will be the feel around the program? I was like, oh, my gosh, give him a spring. Give him that full offseason, tweak the roster, tweak the staff, get the season done, and then another offseason, and then another spring practice. Going into the 24 season, yeah, Auburn's going to be taking steps. I would have said that independent of any other knowledge. If you said, oh, yeah, by the way, Saban quits a couple days after the national championship game, I was like, cha-ching. Opportunity. Yeah. None of that is there right now. There is a lot of confusion and hope. And maybe four really good and diverse skilled running backs behind maybe a better offensive line with maybe some receivers who can win at the line of scrimmage, albeit some freshmen, but I don't care. Be 18. It's harder to do, but if you're 18 and you get open, well, fine. Somebody get open now. And maybe Peyton Thorne, who's played a lot of football. And so maybe this all breaks through. But I'm giving you a path with, like, a lot of roses on it. More likely, you have limitations at quarterback. And it's year two with Peyton Thorne. And this is not really where I thought that they would be, even before I knew Nick Saban wouldn't be there anymore. So, like I said, a lot of confusion and a lot of opportunity. And there is a path, and there's a way it works out, but too much of it involves the quarterback. And because of what we all saw from Hugh Freeze and the quarterback play last year, there seems to be a ceiling, and it looks like kind of a hard one right now. So it is up to the program to change that, and hopefully, hopefully I'm wrong about all that. But it really looks like some of these you know, sort of semi-permanent for the 24 season pillar things that are in place. They're going to be hard to really kind of bust through that ceiling. All right, we're going to take a break, come back, jump into it on this Tuesday.
Now back to the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
The continuity of our staff. to as head coach and the 10 position coaches sent to me. I think it's one of five, if I believe I'm right on that, five teams in the United States of America that returned all 10 position coaches and the head coach. And I mean, that's a big accomplishment for us.
Florida State head coach Mike Norvell. And he has been in Tallahassee for more than a minute now. We forget. He had that, just the weirdness of 2020 and COVID, and they had a losing record, and they were coming off a lose. I mean, it was Willie, and it was the end of Jimbo, and it was just blah, blah. And then they hire this new guy in 3-6. And folks around the program swore, well, it was a different 3-6, and it was COVID, and whatever. But there were just some different personalities on that team that really surprised me. Tamori and Terry, as I'm recalling, there were some issues. I'm trying to remember the big defensive lineman that was supposed to be the team leader and then basically turned into a little bit more of a distraction than he was supposed to be. But then they got it turned around, and 10-3 became 13-0. The Orange Bowl was whatever it was. It wasn't a representation. It was no reflection of what that team was last season. But he makes a good point, and it's, gosh, way unusual today. Mostly you would worry about assistant coaches moving up the ladder on another college staff back in the day. Over the last 2 or 3 years now, it has become that plus, because you move up and get more money. You know, you're doing the same job. You hate to move your family, I'm sure, but you do it. It's also the NFL and getting away from coaching anymore. So he says to bring everybody back, there's like five, and it's very unusual. I will tell you, I think part of the reason Alex Atkins is going to be a head coach at some point, I think that just got delayed a little bit. I don't think it would have taken three more years, but he had that issue with the name image. Somehow they found a way to break some name image likeness laws, so, or some rules. And so Alex Atkins is not going anywhere, most likely, for at least a few more seasons. And it allows you to, and Odell is furniture, okay? He's luggage. He says American Tourister on his, so he's kind of there with the program. If you look at the assistant coaches, though, he says very unusual, and he's right about that. And he has a great mix of guys that are known as, I don't know, Randy Shannon. I think Randy Shannon's a pretty good coach. Didn't need to be a head coach, and I heard some horror stories about how at Miami, and I never heard it was disputed either. But I did hear it was, no, it was, that's what they were doing. They would generate recruiting lists off of, like, scout.com, off of, like, 247 or Border Wars, or I think it was called the insiders.com back then. Whatever the big recruiting site was that kind of morphed into, I guess, 247 now, Randy Shannon and the coaches allegedly would, like, generate recruiting lists off that. So it's a good endorsement for the service. But you would expect as a college staff, you'd probably be a little more drilled down than that. Well, he's not running a program now. He's just coaching linebackers. And I like that a lot. And if he is calling the plays, if he's drawing them up, if he's responsible for the game plan, I like all of that, Randy Shannon. So there's a lot of quality there. And the fact that they were able to keep it is not nothing. Heath, how's it Tuesday, man?
That's true about the stuff with the recruiting. Larry Coker acknowledged that was something. He publicly acknowledged that was something that they had fallen into. And what's so funny about that, Chuck, is that what made Miami great was exactly the opposite of landing highly touted recruits. What made Miami great was taking a guy who was a combo tight end punter out of Central Florida and Warren Sapp and having him turn into Warren Sapp. I mean, it was finding these elite athletes that once you got some weight on them at the training table or whatever, got them into a little more structure, that they were going to add the good muscle and keep the good speed, and all of a sudden you had a monster on your hands. And to get away from that, to go just pursue random four stars in Colorado and five stars somewhere was stupid.
Can I say, I want to believe it's not true, at least. I want to believe that, like, a coaching staff at a good D1 Power 5 program, I want to believe that's not true. So that's what I'm going to do, okay?
By all means, go for it.
All right.
Here's something else that you might want to believe it's not true, but it is. There are probably some people who wonder, well, why does everybody hate the NCAA so much? You know, what, everybody agrees that the NCAA, its leadership and whatnot, it's just been awful for a long, long time. Why are people so down on the NCAA? Chuck, there's a lawsuit that's been filed, and it seems like that happens every single day. But in this case, This lawsuit has been filed by a women's tennis player at North Carolina. And what she specifically is seeking in a class action suit is for the athletes who compete in sports like tennis or golf to now be able, if they, for example, are that golfer who competes in a golf tournament and has the opportunity to get a check, for that guy to be able to take the check. Because her argument is, we all know that currently you have pay for play with regards to NIL for team sports. Why shouldn't someone who has earned it, say, competing in the U.S. Open, if they made the third or fourth round, why shouldn't they be able to keep that check? I have no idea legally whether she has the grounds to win or not. That's not what we do here. But I do know this, Chuck. She cites examples of how the NCAA treats athletes in this suit. And among the ones that come up here, the NCAA, she played and made the third round of the U.S. Open. So she had a certain level of check that she could have theoretically taken. Now, the way the rule works, you're not allowed to take the check, but you are allowed to take what's called reasonable expenses. Among the things the NCAA tried to say were not reasonable expenses for her were getting her racket restrung 15 days before the competition, because the NCAA felt that it generally applied that that would be only 14 days before the competition when you would need to get your racket restrung. Mind you, that wasn't even in the bylaw. That was just their general feeling. And so they said, nah, you can't get the money back for the cost of restringing your racket because you did it 15 days instead of 14 days.
It literally is her only piece of equipment. Yeah. It's the only thing she has to have.
They also asserted that 50% of her hotel room costs with her mother staying with her should have been attributed to her mom and were therefore not an actual and necessary expense. She was 16, Chuck, playing in New York City at the U.S. Open, and the NCAA says, yeah, mom splitting the hotel room should have had to pay because maybe it was just a vacation for mom. She didn't need to be there. I mean, this is just outright stupid.
So the paper moon, is she out like selling Bibles on the street too? I mean.
And the thing is, this is not a unique story. Like, nobody who knows about the NCAA is surprised by this. And yeah. So you want to know why this organization is despised and why we have the chaos that we do. It's because this is the kind of crap they worried about while the whole sports world was burning down around them.
Yeah, and it's interesting, Heath, that I notice every time they seem to want to just remind in random situations, we can still enforce things, so we'll choose to do it now.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
When you buy a used car, don't be taken for a ride. Get Ford Blue Advantage certified at Wade Ford, Atlanta's headquarters for factory-certified pre-owned vehicles. Go to wadeford.com. There you'll find a great selection of Ford Blue Advantage certified used cars, trucks, and SUVs. With Blue certified, nearly all makes and all models are in stock now. You'll find something perfect for just about any budget. Buy with confidence at the Wade Ford factory-certified used car outlet at wadeford.com. Wade Ford. We are Atlanta's Ford dealer.
Catch the king of college football no matter where you go with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
It's a Tuesday on Chuck Oliver Show. We're talking college football. Appreciate y'all coming here for the convo. Mike Norvell, an expert on the Florida State staff, no less than him. He said he thinks the number's 5 out of the 130, either 1 or 2 or 3, 130 couple FBS programs. Mike Norvell said, I think there's 5 that have their entire 10 assistant coach staff coming back. That's unusual, especially when you went 13-0 to start the season. And then, you know, the Orange Bowl, it happened however it happened. But It is. It's a combination. You have a couple of guys on there you look at and go, I wonder if he's allowed to just recruit. And then you have a couple of guys, you know, he's known as, you know, whiteboard. So it's a staff that obviously got results, and they are all back, and it is uber unusual in today's world. Want to welcome on. We're going to talk about everything when it comes to college football coaching. He is college football matrix, Dave Bartu. Dave, how's your Tuesday?
Brother Chuck, it is glorious. I've been up since 4:30. One of my AD clients was like, hey, we need a new basketball coach. You got any numbers?
I do.
Well, of course the answer is yes, right? The problem is there's 362 of these programs, so it's a lot of information. It's not nearly as deep as what we do for college football in the NFL, but I can parse through this stuff pretty good, and so I've been having fun with college basketball this morning.
You know, it's funny. I was talking about that yesterday, and I said that there is something about college basketball that it's different than any other sport, and it all matters. I mean, anything you can do to make your program better and whatever else. I said, but college basketball, here it is. It's not the arena, the program heritage, the enrollment, the fan base. It's not even the money. It's not the conference. If you get the right coach, you win. And I mean every year in college basketball, you're going to win 20. You're going to be in your conference tournament finals, maybe. You're going to go to the NCAAs. Will Wade, you know what he can do? He can win. When Wichita State gets the right head coach, they win every single year. It's unlike any others. That should be great for your business. You're like, if you get the right coach, you win, and I know the right coaches.
It is it's fascinating with college. I think the most fascinating thing, Chuck, is the performance of road versus home in men's college basketball. Scoring efficiency. Offense and defensive scoring efficiency this year, 362 teams. The average home scoring efficiency was 12.9% better at home than on the road. Men's basketball is Jekyll and Hyde. So when I'm looking at the tournament, I'm looking at teams that perform well on the road, right? That don't stack up their metrics at home. And, you know, because with college football, there's almost no difference. Home versus road. I know fans are like, oh, no, we have a great home field advantage. No, there really isn't that big of one. What the advantage is down pressure. That's what creates the havoc is down pressure.
Could I ask you about a couple of college basketball programs heading into the tournament?
Oh, you can. Oh, yeah, baby. You can ask me about any teams. I will give you. Now, we're getting off our Florida State staffing here, though.
We're about to get to it.
You're going down a rabbit hole.
College hoops, and you mentioned the home thing, and I was kind of kidding. I was like, if the SEC would play the tournament in Auburn, I was like, I like the Tigers' chances. They wind up winning anyway. They get a 4 seed, which nobody really understands. A lot of folks say Auburn top 10 nationally, offense and defensive scoring efficiency. Again, they're not at home for any of these games. What do you think about Bruce Pearl and Auburn?
Oh, I love that. I love Bruce Pearl and Auburn. And so at home, oh, my God, look at these numbers. So at home, Auburn at home is 35th in scoring efficiency offense at home this year. On the road, they are 57th in defense. Both of those numbers, Chuck, are solid. But this team is better on the road. They are 6th nationally in offensive scoring efficiency on the road. They are 39 defensively, top 10. This is not top 5. 4 seed, absolutely embarrassing. Absolutely embarrassing that they're – not only are they a 4 seed, they're dumped in there with, what, 3 conference champions?
Yep.
What the heck, man? What the heck? So, but I love Auburn's that bracket's brutal, dude. It's just absolutely brutal. But I'll take Auburn to win. I think I'll take Auburn to win that bracket, man.
And again, it's a good number. And I happen to be at Harris on this Thursday. Continuing on the Duncan Newsmaker line with Dave Bartu. He is CFB Matrix. Let me ask you about a couple of other programs and just give me a flyover if you would. I like Kentucky a little bit. Someone who knows college basketball is like, nah, they're too spotty on defense. Tell me what you think about the Wildcats as a wild card.
well, I mean, who isn't a little spotty somewhere on this stuff, right? You know, you look at Kentucky, though. You look at Kentucky on the road, 40th in road scoring efficiency. I like Kentucky. They're 146th in road defense. Now, compare the two. At home, their home defense is 283. Their home offense is number five. So they're not as efficient offensively on the road, but they focus better. There's a lot of teams you see out there get their guard down on defense at home. They just play offense, and that's good enough to win. I do agree. I think Kentucky can be very, very dangerous, especially with that offense. The defense, yeah, it's top 30th percentile. It's not rock star, but that offense can really carry that team. Is it national championship level offense defense? I don't see that, but it's awful darn good.
All right. Well, I tell you what, let's bounce into this. And I said CFB Matrix. Tell everybody what you do. You have a laptop. You know how to write code. Tell me what the output is.
It's telling stories with numbers as simply as possible. That's my goal, is whether it's, you know, college football, NFL football, you know, college basketball today. It is using the stories of performance to tell a client, here's the upside and downside. The most important thing is looking at the downside. It's really easy to see the upside, right? It's really easy to go, oh, look at Alabama and that top five offense on the road. Oh, it's glorious. Yeah, the downside is they're 361st in road scoring efficiency defense. So if the offense isn't clicking, they're giving up 100, right? And so ultimately, that is probably the biggest part of my job, is pointing out the red flags, what you need to look out for in a hire.
And you can tell Dave this, by the way, here are the goals we have for our program. And everybody has different goals. And Dave will say, all right, this is what you're looking for on special teams. This is what you're looking for from a running backs or a D-line coach. He can shake the tree and outcome possibilities that are likely by the numbers to give you your outcome. Does same thing. He is a whisperer to quarterbacks for the draft. It's just all kinds of stuff. So it's numbers. He can quantify it. He can figure out how to help you maximize your resources, your assets. So that's what Dave does. And if you want to get in touch with him, CFB Matrix on Twitter, and he's got a text line he'll give you. All right, let's get into this then. All the way back to the beginning, Mike Norvell says, yeah, we're one of only a handful of staffs. We've got everybody coming back. Tell me about the advantage of some of these guys, because it's a really good mixture just by reputation of I'm a play sheet nerd and I'm a recruiting guy. Like it's a real good mixture, and obviously the proof's in the pudding.
Right, and there's something to be said. I mean, you could probably talk a lot about this, is coaching continuity, right? Is even if the guys aren't graded rock star coaches, because obviously a lot of people don't think too highly of them, because, look, Florida State, let's be honest, right now is a Tier 2 team. They don't have the money to fend off an SEC or a Big Ten if somebody wants their coaches. So for whatever reason, a top four team with a top three scoring efficiency defense, nobody wanted to pull them out of Tallahassee, which was kind of weird to me. But overall, from a staffing standpoint, they had this staff grades out nearly 5% higher than where it was a year ago. And the total staff grade, it jumped. Now, the 5% doesn't sound like a lot. I know that. But right now, the total staff grade is top 15 in the country. Last year at this time, they were, spreadsheet says, about number 22. So we've had a pretty good jump. Just in the year-over-year performance. So, you know, you have a top 20 staff at Florida State. They're all back. You have a top five offensive coordinator. Mike Norvell is just a brilliant play caller. So you have that going for you as well. You got to be excited about what's happening at Florida State. And in fact, I will take coaching continuity over player continuity. Returning starters, that kind of stuff, it's cool, especially if it's quarterback, but I like returning coaches as well.
You know what, we've talked about that, and I actually made a note, and you had said in the portal era, and now just the interchangeability of, you know, 50 guys on your roster, it's not really an unusual thing. You said in this era of player mobility, such drastic levels of it, trust the staffs that you know. trust the coaching staffs that you know. And if there's a coach, and I wrote that, and I was like, all right, a little note here. Which coaching staffs do I trust? And I certainly trust what's going on in Tallahassee right now and the fact that he brought them all back. It is another layer of it. By the way, they were 10-3 2 years ago. Any 10-win program, you add 5% improvement to anything, much less coaching output. Huge, huge deal. I want to ask you a question when we get back, but I don't know. Do you have a database yet about college football GMs and personnel decision makers? Because so many programs in college now have an NFL-style, quote, front office. And so I want to ask you about some of this recent movement from some of these guys. Do you rank those guys yet? Do you have enough information yet?
No, we don't have a big enough database to handle that
still
yet.
Still so new.
And it is. And be careful going down the free agency, because in the NFL, the higher the ratio of free agency, the more games you lose.
We got a little bit of a break. We're going to come back, get more nuggets from Dave Bartu. That's next on Chuck Oliver Show.
Now more college football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
Man has been cleared, and he is involved in coaching decisions all over college football, but he's been cleared. If you're a former head coach, your number one goal is to be head coach again. And so I look at a case of like Kyle Flood. And he's a head coach before, and he had some stink on him. He had stuff that happened at Rutgers. And so, but he was a head coach. And so he got to go to Tuscaloosa like a lot of folks did on the way back. And now he's, by business card, it says offensive coordinator at Texas. And I'm wondering what Kyle, because he wants to be a head coach again, which means at some point he needs to get credit for what's going on offense. And I'm wondering how much credit anybody could get, like Vince Lombardi back from the grave. Like, how much credit is he going to get being the OC in Austin right now with Quinn Ewers and Steve Sarkisian, who are just like BFF? So that's a scenario. I was a head coach. I don't know when it's going to happen and if he's on the path. I want to welcome in right now again from College Football Matrix. It's Dave Bartu. Dave, tell everybody how to get in touch with you. If you are a head coach or Board of Regents or a fan or whatever, and you got a question for Dave, how do you get in touch with you?
Right. Hit me on the text line, 971-217-8419. It's always open, and I always try to get back to everybody.
And if somebody needs some help sleeping and they want to do it legally in all 50, and if somebody has creaky shoulders, sounds like popcorn when you get out of bed in the morning, what can you
right?
do?
Right. The achy breaky, well, as you know, I partnered with the NFL Alumni Association. And so get this. You know I'm a Duck alum, right? And the Ducks just won their Pac-12 tournament. For the weekend, I went into the system. The Ducks shot 44.4% from the field in winning the Pac-12 tournament. So anybody goes to hempforpros.com, use the coupon code. I know you got to do, even if you don't like the Ducks, it's Go Ducks is 44.4% off everything.
Snap.
Through the end of the day.
Go Ducks?
Go Ducks. One word, go Ducks. 44.4% off everything. I get to be a homer for 24 hours, dude.
You know what? Your company, you're part of it. You can do it, brother. All right. Let's go back to a point you have made over and over. You're like, Chuck, Will Muschamp was a head coach before. He won't be a head coach again.
Yep.
And in so many cases, that's just what it is. Kyle Flood, I assume he wants to be a head coach again. How much credit can he ever get being OC in Austin right now with Sark as the head coach?
From in my purposes, zero. He ain't calling a play. He doesn't have a play sheet. He's never going to call a play. Sarkisian is top three in the country. I mean, why would you let Kyle Flood call the play? So I don't think you're going to get any credit there. And I think the only guy that's going to hire him is going to be via networking. It's got to be a buddy.
Somebody's boys
right?
with?
Because, yeah. I mean, it's got to be somebody that, you know, or a booster that goes, oh, man, I love Kyle Flood. You know, that he's been working for years and years and years to try to get back in. But look, as a head coach, didn't do well at Rutgers. And as an offensive line coach, I mean, I heard he's a great recruiter, but as far as performance, we have him graded as one of the bottom three coaches at Texas.
Ouch.
So, now Texas, the staff is loaded, okay, right? I mean, it is the best OCDC special teams coordinator punch in college football right now. But I think the weak link in that program right now in terms of coaching on field, he may be a dynamite recruiter, maybe an awesome closer. Heck, he might be the guy Steve goes to close the deal. But he ain't no offensive coordinator. And as an offensive line coach, he just hasn't had that great of a career. I think the name is bigger than the performance.
All right. Well, I want to ask you something then. Do you have candidates? Because I think this is okay, by the way. Like, we don't all have to be in charge to prove our worth. Do you know how much? Do you have a salary data? He's making $1.3 million this year. What's the, like, do you run into candidates or clients or whomever that have looked around and was like, you know what? The money's pretty good and I don't have to go to the press conferences. I will take my check. Call me whatever you want, but I don't want to be a head coach again. Do you run into guys who really, truly get fine with the idea of just being an assistant?
The one guy that comes right to my mind is on the same staff, Pete Kwiatkowski. He's a defensive coordinator at Texas, top 10 defensive coordinator in the country. He's been top 10 for the last 5-6 years. He got pulled out of Washington with Chris Peterson. He was with Chris Peterson at Boise. Then he was with the playoff team at Washington that made that run. And then he ended up at Texas. And I was just like, well, why isn't anybody talking about this guy in head coach circles? Because he's a great coordinator. And come to find out, my understanding as of right now, no interest in it. Absolutely no interest in that head coaching job. So, I'm sure there's more guys than that out there.
Yeah.
But that's one of them that pops right into the top of my head on those things. You know, now, as for your real market value and the pay, I can tell you based on his grade what his pay should be in the SEC. I have a real market value on every coach in college football, who's overpaid, who's underpaid relative to their performance at every single program in the country.
That sounds like a tasty file to get a look at.
Dude, I get mad. Okay, here's one. I'll give you
this
one.
This is Jason Bourne stuff.
Here's a little nugget, okay? So, Robbie Disher, he is at Illinois right now. He's special teams coordinator, all right? He is top 10 special teams coordinator, active special teams coordinator grades. All right. He's got a ring from winning a national title at Georgia's special teams coordinator. He went to Tulane. He helped turn that first top 25 Tulane program around 2 years ago. And then he went to Illinois. And at Illinois, he's making 300. Okay. In the Big Ten, based on his grade, he should be the second highest paid guy in the Big Ten. His salary really should be more like $675, right? He's one of the most underpaid guys in all of college football. Now, that's great for Illinois because now Brett Bielema can use that money somewhere else. It's when the guys that aren't very good get way overpaid, and now you don't have the budget to get the really good guy that wants to come there that you don't have the money for.
Dave,
very important to balance these things.
You're busy. You got plenty of clients. If I'm listening right now and I have any connection to a major program, like this, some of this stuff seems easy for somebody who has a Power 5 checkbook to make some very easy, quick, and like very quantitative improvements.
Oh, it's amazing what's out there, Chuck. And see, a lot of people don't realize the head coach is responsible for this. And so that's another ball that they're juggling. They're juggling how to pay these guys, how to evaluate them. And no, it's not a blank check, folks. People just can't go, oh, well, I'm just going to pay them extra this time. Maybe you can get a booster to bump something up on the backside, but there is still a budget there. So, that's one of the things that we try to help our coaches with is how to pay these guys fairly. Not over, not under. As long as everybody on the staff is at fair market value for their performance, I think that makes a better staff, and I think it makes the job easier for the head coach.
Dave, wrap up again. Tell everybody if they want to get in touch with you, no matter who they are, tell them how to get in touch with you both ways.
Well, you can just DM me on Twitter. Just send me a message. It's always open, a CFB Matrix. You can hit me on the text line, 971-217-8419. One little last nugget on Florida State, Chuck, on the coaching continuity. Mm-hmm. They are ninth in game experience at their position going into this year. They are ninth. Bottom five is now Michigan. Michigan lost 476 games of experience. This new staff is one of the least experienced in all of college football.
Oh, and he chose, too. He chose to punt on my card. He chose some of this stuff. Wow. Dave, we'll do it again in 7 days, friend.
See you, buddy.
Dave Bartu, he is College Football Matrix. Yeah, that's right, Jerome Warren. I was going to ask him about Alford. We'll do that next week. I mean, it's March. It's not going anywhere. But I was going to ask him about Alford as well, because I think that happened. Like, we have him on every Tuesday, and I think that happened on Wednesday or Thursday last week, so we missed it. But we will come back to that. I always appreciate Dave. We're going to take a break, come back, kick off hour two.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
When you buy a used car, don't be taken for a ride. Get Ford Blue Advantage certified at Wade Ford, Atlanta's headquarters for factory-certified pre-owned vehicles. Go to wadeford.com. There you'll find a great selection of Ford Blue Advantage certified used cars, trucks, and SUVs. With Blue certified, nearly all makes and all models are in stock now. You'll find something perfect for just about any budget. Buy with confidence at the Wade Ford factory-certified used car outlet at wadeford.com. Wade Ford. We are Atlanta's Ford dealer.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.